Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Pastor asked me to speak tonight and gave me the option to hand it off to Cooper in case I couldn't get through it. If I start having a coughing attack, well, then I'll take that as a sign to kind of shut it down, all right? But it's only one verse tonight. David, how long can that take, you know? 2 Corinthians 5:17. But I was been studying this, and seriously, I think there's something I'm missing here, you know. But I've, you know, it is a new year. All things are new. Pastor's going to be giving a state of the church. It's going to be a new theme, themes like that. But we like new stuff, don't we? I like the smell of a new car, you know. I don't know, J.D., I like the smell of gun smoke for some reason, you know, but I don't know if that's new or not, but but anyway, I like a new deer rifle, right? That'd be something good to have, you know, but you know, there's a lot of new things we need. But let's read this verse first of all, before I go on. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you probably won't even, I'm not going to tell you not to turn in your Bibles. They told us in Bible college, never tell somebody, don't turn in your Bibles. You don't have, so you can turn in your Bibles if you want to, but we're just going to do this one verse. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I don't know if this is implying right here that somebody can be saved and not necessarily be in Christ. Again, I've not really studied this as much as I should, you know, because we were taught in Bible school, you know, in vacation Bible school and things like that, that if we could pray, you know, that Jesus would come to live in our hearts, you know. And the Bible, there's a lot of things, verses in the Bible that talks about how he takes up a residence, you know, in our hearts and, you know, deep down in our hearts. And it's his throne room, you know, and that is his throne. God's not, and nobody is going to, the demons are not going to be able to share that with him. So, but it's saying if he's in Christ, therefore, if we be in Christ, that's us being in Christ, not Christ being in us, right? I don't know. I probably should have studied this a little bit more, but I didn't want to really go into it all that deep right now. But it says all things become new. I mean, well, we have an opportunity for a lot of things to become new even this year. There's some things that aren't going to be new because we choose for them not to be so, right? You know, and there's some things we need to put off. You know, we need to, and we'll talk about some of those verses, you know, right here at the very end. I was thinking about Brother Irwin, you know, old man is dead. Love that song, you know. But if we're in Christ, you know, our lives are going to change. I mean, the Bible just says that's the way it is. Not necessarily Christ in us. Am I wrong here? But if we are if we are in Christ, you know, our lives are automatically going to change because you know, there's no other thing that could happen. But you know, but anyway, there's a lot of things I could wouldn't mind having that is new. There's some things I get that aren't new. You know, like I don't know that I'll ever buy a brand new car. My theory is, you know, you go buy a brand new car, you drive around the block, it depreciates about 20%, you know, right off the bat, right? So I don't know if that's a good, wise investment, especially in this day and age. You know, I hope some of y'all got your cars before all the inflation went up. They cost quite a bit more now, right? Used cars, you know, they've gone up in price also, haven't they? Some of you may want a new car. It'd be nice to have it. I mean, again, I like the smell of it. You can go out and buy that spray and spray in there. It makes it, you know, get those things you hang from your mirror. You can make it smell like new, you know. But, you know, I've never been one to go out and buy a brand new iPhone. I'm not going to do that. You know, there's too many other people that will go out there and buy them just as soon as they come out or lease them, you know. And then they turn them back in. Amazon has a thing now where you can buy renewed premium. Have you heard of that? You can buy a phone that iPhone that is renewed premium. Darlene got to upgrade, right? And she had one of those iPhone 10s. Those things was junk. You know, for the most part, you know, they had a hardware problem. You'd go to answer it. Any of y'all have this problem? And you couldn't hear it and talk, you know. She always had it on speakerphone. Y'all ever notice that? Go in the office, my wife have her phone on speakerphone. Well, now she's got an iPhone 11 renewed premium. Those have the same warranties on them, you know, as a brand new iPhone. Now, they'll stand behind it for a year, just like Apple will, you know. So I'm not going to, I'll let y'all go out and buy the brand new iPhones, you know, and then I'll buy yours when you're done with it, okay? Some people can't wait for that too. Isn't it crazy? Man, I was studying. Allow me just to ramble here just a little bit, okay? I was studying about the different generations this morning. And I don't know why I got off on that kick. Probably because I sit around and watch Grit all the time, you know, and I long for those old days, you know, the cowboy days and things like that, you know, and the greatest generation. I was watching The Longest Day. Anybody else watch that with me yesterday? Yeah, I was watching The Longest Day, and that was certainly the greatest generation, sometimes called the silent, you know, generation. And then came along the baby boomers, you know, and we was doing the comparisons, and my mother-in-law, I mean, she was the type, J.D., I don't know if you ever tried rabbit brains or not. Have you ever tried that? I mean, she would, we would go out and kill all these, anybody else here tried rabbit brains? No, just my mother-in-law, okay. So, but anyway, she was raised hard like that, you know, but I can tell you how to fix them up, you know. You skin them inside out, you know, put them in a deep pot and all that, crack them, just like cottage cheese, you know. But anyway, rabbit brains. But here's the point. She was from the greatest generation, okay, and I tell you what, they had it hard. You know, they didn't waste anything. Ate a lot of grilled cheese back then, huh, Mom? And but then along came the baby boomers, okay? Now, there was a lot more things booming back then than just babies, all right? It was, you know, the economy was booming and things like, now, I guess not all the boomers. I guess the baby boomers went from what? 48. Was it 48 till about 64? You know, somewhere along those lines, you know, and... But they were the greedy generation. They were sometimes called the anti-Vietnam generation. You know, I was thinking about some of that. But then also there was they were greedy. They would the economy was booming. They'd get a lot of money. They'd want to do a lot of traveling and things like that. You know, and they always wanted new things. You know, and they wanted everything that their parents did not have. You know, and they had this attitude, you know, I'm not going to deprive myself of anything. And it's just kind of the way, and that's my generation, okay? I got this theory. I'm afraid we're going to hand the generation off to Generation X, which would be Nick and Debbie in that generation, okay? And I've told Nick before, I'm pretty sure our generation has really messed things up, you know, and I feel bad about that. You know, but it wasn't all baby boomers that were like that, right? And not all Generation Xers, you know, that Generation X gets a bad rap sometimes, don't they? Not all Generation Xers are bad either. You know, there's a few out there that are still good, and I was ripping some of them off, but I just got all, I don't know, I was talking to my wife, and I would kind of get depressed, you know, and then I'd get a little, you know, more excited about that. But, you know, but I think sometimes we are greedy sometimes. We've got to have the best stuff, the newest stuff, you know, things like that, you know. But then there's other people on the other hand, you know, they hardly ever buy anything new. You know, we used to have an old man run around Atascosa County, Nick, that I forget what his name was. He lived over there off of that Red Barn Road or whatever it was. And he would putt around all over the county on the shoulder of the road, never got out into the main part of the road, in an old pickup truck selling fruits and wore overalls and things like that. You think he was just poor as he could be. That guy had money. You know, he had his own airplane. He'd fly around sometimes, you know, and things like that, but he never would. One time I was coming out of the lumber yard, and he was out front, and I was really poor back then, okay? But coming out of the lumber yard, and he was out there selling his vegetables. And he knew who I was. And back then, I was out there trying to start a mission, you know, and I'm the preacher kind of around there, you know. And anyway, I just, I didn't have any money, so what do I do? I didn't even look. I just walked on by. He said a few words on the way, you know, back me, just talking about how stingy I was and things like that, you know. But anyway, I know if that's ever happened to you, David, okay? But anyway, you know, we all do want new things, you know, no doubt about that. You know, if I had the young people in here, I had some real fun with this, you know, but I was thinking about the young people and how some of them might want a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend, you know, things like that. But anyway, they're not in here, so I'll not kick that around, you know, just too awful much. But now, personally, I was wanting some new grandkids. I was wanting cat more grandkids than what I got, okay? I got 6 grandkids right now, but anyway, it didn't go according to my plans, you know, because my plans was not Nick and Debbie's plans, you know, but I could have used a couple more grandkids. I love it, you know. Oh, Moose! I was listening to him talk to somebody in the back here. He was telling me how he got this new monster truck. And who was that explaining that? Got this new monster. Man, he was explaining all about it. So Moose was all happy, you know. But this idea that we're talking about new, right? I don't think that's what this verse is talking about, you know, along that. All things become new, you know. But you know, I would definitely like some new things, you know. I generally buy, I think these are rustlers right here, you know. They don't stay up quite like Wranglers, you know. But they're new, you know. That's the main thing. And I can still make them look pretty good, you know. Do you wear rustlers? Are you there yet, J.D.? Do you wear rustlers? You got genuine Wranglers on? Okay. So I still got some Wranglers at home. I've kind of walked the heel off all of them, you know. So I guess I'm shrinking. I don't know, you know. But I've walked all that heel off. But anyway, look at the verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I mean, we need some, we need to, I would really like to get this down in my heart what it's talking. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Look, when you get saved and you're in Christ, you know, your life is going to change. You're going to have a hard time convincing me personally. Now, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge any man. You're probably saying, yeah, I'm glad you're not my judge, Brother King. You know, but I'm not going to try to judge you for anything. Not to say we can't backslide, you know, but I tell you what, if you're in Christ, your life is going to change. We can't go back to that old way of life. The old man's dead, supposed to be. You know, and but anyway, what does it mean to become a new creature? Okay, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Interesting wording right here. You know, it means just what it says. Okay, the man actually becomes a new creature. His whole being. I shudder to think, David. I was thinking about this today too. I shudder to think where I would be without Christ. I shudder to think where my family would be without Christ. I mean, if we weren't raised in church, you know, I shudder to think where my daughter would be, you know, and my grandkids, or could have been that Debbie would have never met Nick, you know, had I not been in the will of God. I'd made my line. We put down the gauntlet right after we got married, and I was saved. She wasn't. She got saved right away, you know, and we decided we was going to raise our family in church because neither one of our families really was, you know, ever faithful in church. And we just made up our mind, Omega, that we're going to be the generation that breaks that trend, you know, and that we're going to go to church. I mean, it was that first week after Mark was born, right? He was in church. You know, I think same way with the next two, started in church. And I just, you know, but what it means right here, the man that actually becomes a new creature, his whole being, nature, and his life, and his behavior changes. We just don't do the things that we used to do anymore. And I've used to preach. I preach for years, and I think I've heard Brother Joe talk about this, that lost people sometimes have a better idea of what Christians ought to act like than what saved people do. I mean, look, I think this year we're in a new year. Happy New Year, right? We're in a new year, and we could make up our minds right now that we're going to be in Christ, you know, and that the old things are going to pass away, and we can make some things new. I mean, I don't want to please anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And nobody's going to judge me but him, you know. But, you know, what does it mean to become a new creature? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know, whereas a man was dead to God, you know, and this really got to me thinking, he becomes alive to God. I mean, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? I once was dead to God, and I had this old thing, you know, Eric, for a while. I'd say, before I got saved, me and God, we got our own understanding, you know, and I'd try to quote to him John 3:16. Everybody, I didn't have a clue what that meant back then, you know, but I was dead to God. Now I'm alive to God, and I'm in fellowship with him all the time. I mean, once I was dead to God, and then all of a sudden he gives me the gift of eternal life, you know, and now I'm never going to die. You know, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Yeah. We're never going to see death, David. Never. You know, we're going to step out of this old body, this old dead. This old body's going to die. I do realize that, right? You know, but he's a new creature. I mean, there's a whole list of things I could give you right here, you know. There was a while that we had no relationship with God, and now we're given a relationship with God. As many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, right? And so that's the way that we live now. You know, and then, too, I remember having this argument with this Mormon one time. He's saying, yeah, you're one of those Baptists, once saved, always saved. So, what do you mean you're saved? I say, well, I'm not going to hell, you know. I mean, I didn't know how else to answer him, you know. But he's trying to ask me. He's trying to get real theological with me, you know. Actually, God put him in my life to get me back in his will because I was a little backslidden back then. But, you know, there was a time that I was maybe not quite sure, you know. But now I am sure, you know. There was one time I thought I was going to heaven. You know, I thought I could be, like I'd quote the John 3:16. Well, I guess I have everlasting life, you know, because I believe in God. You know, it's not quite that simple, you know. But again, I'm kind of think I'm mixing the theology up here just a little bit, because I think there's a little bit more to it with this verse right here about being in Christ. You know, if we're in Christ, y'all, our lives are going to change. You know, if we're in Christ in 2023, we are going to change the way we think things, we do things, you know, the way that we treat each other, maybe the way that you treat your family, you know. God forbid, maybe you have a temper at home, you know, and you lose it on your kids sometimes. You know, I hope that not anybody that would be like that, you know, but you just lose your temper. You know, God can change you. That's something that you ought to put off, you know. The Bible does talk about putting off some things along those lines. But, you know, again, I say that there one time a man was not sure about God, now he is absolutely certain. And that's the way I am, because I'm just a simple thinking guy, and the Bible calls it the gift of eternal life, and I just believe it's eternal. You know, that there's nothing we can do to lose it anyway, you know. But, you know, new creature, all right. There was a time when I really never fellowshipped with God. So I ask you, you think this could happen to a saved person? We're not fellowshipping with God. Maybe we don't fellowship like we should. But if we're a new creature in Christ, okay, you know, if y'all figure out the theology of all this verse, come tell me about it, okay? But I think there's something here that I'm missing. But there was a time a man never fellowshipped and communed with God. He fellowships and communes with him all the time. I catch myself talking to God like that a lot, you know, going down the road, something going on. Prayer line come across, you know, things like that, whisper a prayer. Somebody comes to my mind, you know, I might text them, you know, thinking about you. You know, there was somebody I thought about I guess it was yesterday. You know, I believe that was our first day back yesterday, right, at school. And I was somebody I was thinking about. But now listen to this one. Now, I would ask you this, theologically, is it possible for a child of God to live in sin? Not live right, we'll just leave it. Is it possible for a child of God to be like that? I do believe that is correct. Now, I do not think it's possible for you to live in sin and get away with it. Because I tell you what, your life will be miserable. As a matter of fact, God will not allow you to, use a double negative here, Miss Dillon, not get away with it, Mike, right? I just butchered that, didn't I? Diagram that for me, Mike, you know. But, you know, whereas a man was living in sin and immorality, if he is in Christ, okay, right here, then he lives in righteousness and holiness. So again, I mean, as we said about this verse, you know, I think it would be possible maybe for a person to be saved and not necessarily be in Christ. Not possible the other way around. Somebody correct me here if I'm wrong, okay? If Christ lives in you, which is the hope of glory, there's no way that God's going to share that throne with anything or anybody, you know. But I don't know. You know, I'm missing something here. I'm not totally dogmatic on this, you know. Here's one of my favorite, okay, when you're in Christ, you know. I think this is one reason you could probably possibly doubt your salvation if you're not living like you should. Let's put it like that, okay? It would be possible that you would doubt it, or possible that you'd be afraid to die. I don't know that any. I can't speak for everybody else. Anyway, whereas a man was living in sin and immorality, he now lives in righteousness and holiness. Whereas a man had to face death, again, my favorite part, now, Eric, he never has to die because he's in Christ. We're not, I mean, again, what is the gift of God? Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. That means it's never going to end, right? I mean, and I claim that verse. And look, the Word of God is not that difficult to understand, right? He gives us good, clear verses like this. And God never contradicts himself. So the Bible says the wage of sin is death. Gift of God is eternal life. That is simple to understand. Don't need a preacher to preach that to you, explain it to you. You just accept it just as it is. And then here's one, okay. What does it mean for a man to become a new creature? If you're a new creature, there was a time when you were doomed to judgment and to eternal separation from God. Now you're destined to live eternally in the presence of God. Okay, that's a new creature. So, therefore, I'm really just kind of preaching this in two halves, okay? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, okay? And old things pass away, all things become new. Now, so again, let's think about this. How does a person become a new creature? I probably should have studied this more than I did, okay? But note the words of the Scripture. Again, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It is being in Christ. I want to read this to you word for word. It is being in Christ that makes a person a new creature. When a person truly believes in Christ, God places and positions him in Christ. So to be in Christ means that a person lives, dies, and arises in Christ. And here's a good Texas word for you, okay? And he is reckoned and credited as in Christ. Is that a mouthful? Okay? But, and that's how you become a new creature, you know? In other words, I will exegete this for you a little. Is that a good way to put it, Mike? In other words, when a person believes in Christ, God places and positions the believer in Christ, okay, when you believe in Christ. In other words, we died in Christ. I think about baptism. It's a picture of death, burial, resurrection of Christ, okay? So, I don't know. In other words, we died in Christ, therefore the believer never has to die. John 3:16. That's a good verse. By the way, if somebody wants to argue with you about eternal salvation, I always quote them John 3:16. And if they won't believe that verse, I don't even bother to quote them anything else, because that says it all, right? And almost everybody can quote it to you. How does a person become a new creature? Or in other words, talking about being in Christ. In other words, we died in Christ. Therefore, the believer never has to die. The penalty and condemnation of his sins are already paid for in the death of Christ. Okay, we understand that. All right. So, in other words, we'll say it another way. In other words, we've been raised in Christ. Therefore, the believer has received the new life of Christ. Just as Christ had a new life after his resurrection, even so, the believer receives the new life of Christ. I mean, it's a pleasant thought to think we're going to have bodies just like Christ one day, right? You ever thought about that? No blood, flesh and bones, right? I mean, that's cool. I'm cool with that, But finally, it's going to be a new body. We're not going to have this old hacky cough, Miss West, okay? I'm not going to have asthma. I'm not going to have tinnitus roaring in my ears all the time. It's all going to be new, So to be in Christ, finally, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Finally, to be in Christ means that a believer walks and lives in Christ day by day. And this is what I think I was getting at, before. It means he does not walk after the flesh. And I don't think that means he cannot walk after the flesh. Okay? But it means he does not walk after the flesh. We're going to be like Christ, correct? you know, and be exactly like Christ. You know, it means that he does not walk after the flesh, but he walks after, Romans 8, 1, he walks after the Spirit, you know, and that's what he is. So here's another quote, direct quote I want to give you, all right? And then I'm going to give you three verses and we're done. Think about this, okay? From this, it is clearly seen that a person who is in Christ is a new creature. This is what is meant by such scriptural terms as being born again and becoming a new man. However, no better words describe the experience than the words of this verse. Latter part, old things are passed away. You know, all things are become new, okay? That probably describes it best. You know, a man can start life all over. I mean, look, it's a new year. Maybe there's some things you need to put off. This is a good time to make the right kind of, I hesitate to use the word resolutions, you know, because we all break those. This would be a good time to start over. I mean, a lot of people, they make up their minds at the beginning of the year, they're going to start reading the Bible every day. Isn't it funny? I mean, I'm down, getting toward the latter part of my ministry. I've been saved, you know, quite a few years, you know, and they taught me right after I got saved that there's two things a Christian does. You know what they are? They read their Bibles and they pray. Okay? These are two things that Christians ought to do. How hard is that? It's not easy, I'll tell you that much, all right? But it would be a good year. One of the new things you might want to start up, meditate. You know, I do a lot of meditating in the deer blind, you know, and it's quiet, you know, especially if we're not seeing anything. I'm not trying to make deals with God either. God, just let me see a deer, okay? You know, and I, you know, make them all these promises. No, that's not what I'm out there doing. You know, that's not the way I'm praying, you know. But look, it's a choice that you're going to make. You do need to put off the old man. You can choose to do it or not. You know, devil don't make you do it and all that. We've heard all the messages along those lines, you know. Anyway, a man can start life all over, no matter how corrupt. And I've always said there's nothing worse than a backslidden Baptist. I mean, they can get absolutely wicked, you know, and I think most of you will agree with me. But you can start all over, no matter how corrupt you've become or how far he has fallen. You know, and it doesn't, you know, there's, you know, you've not done anything too bad that God can't change. It's something that you can change. So, but here's the thing. Again, looking at this verse, God longs to make a new creature out of you. All right? So, to be in Christ, let me give you three verses, all right? To be in Christ, there's a very important condition. Well, you got to be born again, you know. John 3:3, very, very saying, except you may be born again. He cannot see. So that's a given. We understand that, you know. And then here's things, and I'm going to finish this last one with this, since you, okay. Since you're in Christ, there are certain things that Christians don't do, right? So since you're in Christ, one of the things you got to do is bite your tongue. Bible, a lot of messages on that. You know, watch your mouth. Watch what you say. Watch especially what you say to each other. Watch what you say to your spouse. You know, maybe you've not been done so good at home this past year. Well, it's a new year. Happy New Year. Make up your mind you're going to do better. Okay, but if, since you're in Christ, watch your mouth. The Bible says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that tells me right there, maybe there might be some things we need to put off. There's some things I need to put off, no doubt about it. There's some things I need to put on, you know. There's some things I need to do. So since you're in Christ, watch your mouth. And since you're in Christ, and I don't know why I threw this in, but it just, the verse came there, stop lying. Don't lie. Is it possible for a child of God to lie? I won't say it's happened to me all the time, you know, but don't you just hate it when somebody just lies to you? You wouldn't lie to somebody else, would you? You know? Is it possible? I one time made a statement from the pulpit and held my breath and just said, you know, if I ever lied to anybody in here, you know, first of all, I qualified it. I said, I didn't do it intentionally, okay? You know, come talk to me. I'll try to make it right. I've had some people write letters through the years, long letters, ugly letters, you know, about something I would say or do. But look, is this something that even needs to be preached to the child of God? Since you're in Christ, you're a new creature. New creatures do not lie, okay? Since you're in Christ, you must stop with the lying, okay? And the Bible says this in Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. He's talking to all of us in here, right? Stop it. Don't do it anymore, you know, which is renewed in knowledge, you know, after the image that's been created in him. So that's the thoughts for tonight, y'all. That didn't take long, did it, Mike? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in a Christ, this is the best New Year's message I know to bring. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed. Just put it off, okay? Don't say some of the things you did last year. Be kind to your kids. Be more merciful, maybe. Put some of those things on. But anyway, lie not one to another because you put those off. If any man be in Christ, new creature, all things pass away. All things come new. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this word. And God, I pray, and I think maybe I only just touched on it just a little bit tonight, but maybe there's something here I've missed. Maybe, Father, you'll take this word from 2 Corinthians 5:17, lay it on our hearts and our minds, and help us to be, Father, exactly what you want us to be. And we know this is certainly possible because of what Christ did with us. Father, we want Christ to be in us, and we want to be in Christ. We pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you need to come for any reason to the altar, I'm going to give you just a second to come. Maybe you want to come and you want to pray. Anybody like that? In Christ's name, amen. Amen.